Well, good evening. I want to welcome you on behalf of all of our staff, volunteers here at Faith, to our Good Friday Tenebrae service. This evening, we'll have a series of meditations on the seven final words of Jesus. And in response to those meditations, we'll invite you to either listen or sing along with our worship team. Today, in a lot of ways, is a day that's changed every day. In some ways, it's a funeral that changes every funeral after it. As we see the sacrifice of Jesus, the Son of God, our Savior, giving his life to redeem our lives. A death died to pay for the price of sin, but a death also to experience suffering that each one of us have experienced. So that in all things, anywhere we find ourselves, we would know we are never alone, but Jesus is with us always. And so today we will share the story of our salvation in the seven final words of Jesus, along with seven stories that he tells, that we might see his love even greater for us. The first word. The word of forgiveness. Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the skull, there they crucified him. And the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And Jesus told a story in his earthly ministry of what forgiveness looks like with the Pharisee and the tax collector. He told this story to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous on their own, and they treated others with contempt. And so Jesus said, two men went up to the temple to pray, a Pharisee and a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed like this, "God, thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, the unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a day, and I give tithes of all that I get." But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look toward heaven, but beat his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And Jesus says, "I tell you the truth. This man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who humbles himself will be exalted, but he who exalts himself will be humbled." In the third and fourth century, there were groups of men and women who would leave the cities to go out to the desert to be alone in solitude with the Lord their God. And they would seek him in prayer. And in one of the cells was written on the wall this simple prayer three times. And as we walk to the cross this evening, I want to invite you to share these words with me. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And from his very first word, our Savior gives you mercy. The second word, the word of salvation. One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God? Since you're under the same sentence of condemnation, and we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Truly, I say to you, today, you will be with me in paradise." And Jesus told a story about the kingdom of heaven in the vineyard workers. That the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into the vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, "You, go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right, I will give you." And so they went. And going out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, he did the same. And at the very end of the day, at about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing. And he said to them, "Why do you stand idle all day?" And they said to him, "Well, no one's hired us." And he said, "You go into the vineyard too." And when the evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first." And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each one of them received a full day's wage, the denarius. Now, when those who were hired first came, they thought that they would receive more, but each of them also received one denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, "These last only worked 1 hour, and you've made them equal to us who have borne the scorching heat of the day." And he replied to them, "Friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last worker as I gave to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity? And so the last will be first, and the first will be last." It seems unfair that a criminal, the worst of the worst, who deserved to die and was dying with Jesus, can have this end-of-life deathbed confession and receive the promise of eternal life. He did nothing to earn it. In fact, his entire life was the antithesis of what it means to love God and to love others. And we might complain. We might say, Jesus, look at me. I was baptized on the third day. I have been going to church and Sunday school every Sunday since I was a little kid. I've lived my life. But there's something we miss if we compare those who find salvation at the end and we don't acknowledge the gift that finding salvation at the beginning is. Because every day you live as a child of God, He has prepared good works for you that you might walk in them. And these good works that you've prepared are a blessing not only to those you serve, but to you. Because they conform you to the image of your Savior. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many, that we would do the same. And salvation comes at every hour to every person from contact with Jesus. And may we be the type of people who bring Jesus into every relationship. The third word, the word of relationship. But standing by the cross of Jesus were His mother, His mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw His mother and the disciple whom He loved standing nearby, He said to His mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then He said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. And Jesus told a story of the wise and the foolish builders. He asked, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears these words of mine and does them, I'll tell you what he's like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the floods rose and the stream broke against that house, it could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears these words of mine and doesn't do them, I'll show you what he's like. He's like the man who built his house on ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord and not do what I tell you?" He welcomed us to his table to sit with him and those disciples through time and space, all of us gathered around a single table And he said, a new commandment I give to you. Love one another. Just as I have loved you, so you love one another. And when all the world looks at you and sees the love you have for one another, they will know you are my disciples when you love one another. Jesus looked at the crowds, stretched out his hand towards his disciples, and he says, here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. You've been welcomed into the family of God, made to sit at his table, given the bread and the wine, which are his very body and blood, for the forgiveness of your sins, so that you might continue to live free from death, free from sin, and free from the power of the devil, empowered by the life he gives to you. This is love. That a man would lay down his life for his friends, for you. The fourth word, the word of abandonment. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani. That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus told a story of the tower builder and the battling king, saying, which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he's laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see him begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going out to encounter another king in war, will not first sit down and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him with 20,000? If not, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks him for terms of peace. So therefore, Jesus said, any of one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. There was eternal silence. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, existing in perfect relationship, stretching to eternity, as far backwards as we can imagine forwards. And the first word, the word of creation, the Father speaking, the Son and Spirit building, before he laid the foundation of our world, They knew the plan for redemption. Our Father in heaven knows the cost. He knows the price. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he not also with him graciously give us all things? God knows our redemption is the cost of our creation. And for the joy set before him, our Savior endured the cross, scorning its shame, experiencing that separation for the first time in his eternal existence, so that you who are separated could be reconciled, rescued, and brought home. The fifth word, the word of distress. And after this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said to fulfill Scripture, "I thirst." A jar full of sour wine stood there. So they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it up to his mouth. And Jesus told a story of a persistent widow, a parable to the effect that they ought to always pray and not lose heart. You see, he said, in a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected men. And there was a widow in that same city who kept coming to him over and over and saying, "Give me justice against my adversary. Give me justice against my adversary. Give me justice." For a while, he refused. But afterward, he said to himself, "Oh, though I neither fear God nor respect men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I'll give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming." And the Lord said, "Hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God, your Father in heaven, give justice to his elect who cry out to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give you justice, and speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" Do you notice Jesus actually asks for a drink? The dying man crucified on the cross makes a request of the ones who are killing him to hallow every request that every son and daughter of God would ever make in all types of situations, in suffering and sadness, in joy and in gladness. Your request is holy, because you make it to the one who is holy. And Jesus asks for a drink to to rally the last of his strength to finish his work for you. The sixth word, the word of triumph. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "Tetelestai, it is finished." And he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. And Jesus told a story of the strong man bound. He said, when a strong man fully armed guards his own palace, his goods are safe. But when one stronger than he attacks and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. And Jesus said, whoever is not with me is against me. Whoever does not gather with me scatters. Satan ruled over the world, reigning in death over God's people, triumphing in sin at every failing and fall. And our Savior came down for you. Defeated the enemy for you. And the psalmist says, he descended so that he might ascend. And Jesus ascended on high, leading a host of captives in his train. Sin, death, and the power of the devil defeated. And receiving gifts among men, even among the rebellious, that the Lord God may dwell here with you. For they called him Emmanuel, God with us. That God himself would be with them. That he would wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death would be no more, neither mourning nor crying nor pain anymore, because those things are defeated. And blessed be the Lord who daily bears you up. Cast all your cares and anxieties on him because he loves you. Tetelestai. It is finished. God is your salvation. Seventh word, the word of reunion. It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until about the ninth hour, while the sun's light had failed, and the curtain of the temple was ripped in two. And then Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. Jesus told a story of children asking their father, what father among you? Jesus said, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you, who are evil, know how to give good gifts, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit when you ask him? Dad, I'm tired. I'm so tired. I've done everything you asked me to do. I've taken on the sin of the whole world. Those they've committed and those that have been committed against them, so that they would be free of guilt and free of shame. Into your hands, Father, I commit my spirit. The Father's will for you and me has been accomplished by the Son. And so the Son returns home to be with his Father in peace and in joy. Are you tired? Are you weary? Are you heavy laden? Your Savior says, come. Come to me. I will give you rest for your soul. Take my burden upon you, for it is light. The psalmist prophesied, why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against our Lord and against his anointed. Now therefore, O kings, be wise. Be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way. For his wrath is quickly kindled. And blessed are you when you take refuge in him. You have only to be still. The Lord, your God, will fight for you, and he will triumph over all of your enemies. Sin, death, and the power of the devil defeated. The grave will be full, but then all graves will be released. And we'll live with him forever. That's Good Friday. A gift from our Father through the Son, given to you by the Spirit who dwells in you now and always.